Good morning. Welcome to News Briefing. On this day, May 8, in 1984, Apple introduced the Apple IIc computer, a groundbreaking portable machine that brought computing to more homes and students. A fitting nod to innovation as we dive into today's top headlines. We're covering a comprehensive look at the news from BBC News, NPR Topics, The New York Times, US Top News and Analysis, and many other trusted sources. Joining me today, as always, is our senior reporter, Arohi. Good morning, Arohi.
Good morning. Ready to jump in.
Let's start with the political landscape here in the U.S., where redistricting continues to be a major battleground ahead of the November midterms. The Supreme Court issued a ruling last month that has really thrown some states into a scramble. What's the latest?
That's right. The April Supreme Court decision has significantly intensified the redistricting race, particularly in several southern states. This ruling has opened the door for the GOP to redraw House maps in more states, aiming to consolidate their power before the upcoming elections. We're seeing a rapid acceleration of these efforts, with parties pushing to finalize new district lines that could have long-term implications for congressional representation.
And we're already seeing tangible impacts, especially in Virginia.
Absolutely. In a major blow to Democrats, a Virginia court has struck down the state's House map. This decision is a significant victory for Republicans, effectively wiping away a measure that voters had approved specifically to allow Democrats to potentially gain as many as 4 House seats in the midterms. It really shifts the dynamics in key swing districts, providing a clear advantage to the Republican Party in Virginia.
It sounds like the fight isn't just between parties, but even within them, especially in places like California, where new maps are forcing incumbents into difficult positions.
That's certainly the case. In California, redistricting has forced several Republican incumbents into direct competition, leading to an intense race to the right. Take Ken Calvert and Young Kim, for example. Both are Republicans, and because their districts have been redrawn, they're now essentially battling for political survival by accusing each other of not being sufficiently aligned with the MAGA movement. It highlights the internal pressures within the party when district lines change, pushing candidates to appeal to the most conservative elements of their base.
A fascinating dynamic. And speaking of the gubernatorial races, there's a Democrat in Iowa, Rob Sand, who seems to be making waves and causing some concern among Republicans. Who is Rob Sand, and what's his strategy?
Rob Sand is Iowa's current auditor, and he's campaigning for governor with a remarkably pragmatic message. His approach intentionally eschews strict partisanship, aiming to appeal to a broader base of voters. He's focusing on transparency and accountability, which are messages that resonate across the political spectrum. This strategy is proving effective enough that it's genuinely worrying Iowa Republicans, who see him as a formidable challenger capable of drawing support from independents and even moderate conservatives, potentially making the gubernatorial race far more competitive than they initially anticipated.
From domestic politics, let's pivot to international affairs, where tensions remain high, particularly in the Middle East. We're hearing more about the ongoing situation with Iran. What can you tell us about the latest developments?
The situation with Iran has escalated significantly. The U.S. military confirmed yesterday that it intercepted Iranian attacks targeting 3 Navy ships. This follows earlier reports and shows the continued fragility of the ceasefire in the region. Adding to this, the U.S. also announced that its forces fired upon and disabled 2 more Iranian tankers that were attempting to breach an American blockade of Iran's ports. These actions represent some of the latest blows to what was already a shaky ceasefire agreement, underlining the persistent naval confrontations in the Gulf of Oman.
And the economic fallout from this conflict is also a major talking point, with some strong criticism coming from Europe.
Indeed. Germany's finance minister Lars Klingbeil has explicitly blamed the U.S. president's irresponsible war in Iran for harming the German economy. He stated that the conflict is contributing to a broader economic slowdown, highlighting how geopolitical tensions have direct consequences on global markets and trade. It's a clear indication of how deeply interconnected the international economy is with these conflicts. And it's not just economies feeling the impact. This war has also proven to be a financial boon for some companies. Through surging profits and soaring share prices, certain firms are making billions, benefiting directly from the increased demand for defense and related services.
Shifting gears slightly, but staying on U.S. foreign policy, there was a notable private meeting between President Trump and Brazil's President Lula. What was the takeaway from that?
President Trump and Brazilian President Lula recently held a private Oval Office meeting. While they did not appear together publicly, both leaders exchanged compliments after their talks. This signals a lingering strain in the relationship, but also a clear effort to avoid any public tension. The private nature of the meeting suggests a cautious approach to diplomacy, aiming to address critical issues without the heightened scrutiny or potential for misinterpretation that a public appearance might entail. It's a delicate balancing act in international relations.
Beyond Iran, we're seeing military activities intensify in other regions as well, particularly near Asia's flashpoints. What are the U.S. and its allies doing there?
The U.S. and its allies are engaged in extensive military drills in the Philippines and other areas near Asia's flashpoints. These exercises are designed to test new military tactics, ranging from drone boats to long-range missiles. The objective is to sharpen deterrence capabilities as tensions with China continue to intensify. These drills are a clear signal of commitment to regional security and an effort to maintain a strategic balance in a highly contested part of the world, demonstrating preparedness for various scenarios.
Moving across the Atlantic now, the UK has just concluded its local elections, which were seen as a significant test for Prime Minister Keir Starmer. What are the early indications?
These local elections in England, Scotland, and Wales were indeed the biggest electoral test for Keir Starmer since he became Prime Minister in 2024. Early results are indicating a challenging outcome for his government. The cost of living crisis, which has dominated political discourse, appears to have heavily influenced voter sentiment. Many of the early tallies suggest a backlash against the ruling party, reflecting widespread public anxieties over rising prices and economic pressures.
And how is Prime Minister Starmer reacting to these initial results?
Starmer has acknowledged that the election results are tough, but has firmly stated that they won't make him quit. Despite the early indicators of a setback, he's projecting resilience and a commitment to his mandate. On the financial markets, there was a slight easing of gilt yields as these results came in, suggesting some market reaction to the political landscape, but perhaps also some stability from Starmer's statement. The full picture will become clearer as all votes are counted, but the impact of the cost of living crunch is undeniable.
Let's shift our focus to the rapidly evolving world of technology, specifically AI and cybersecurity, where we're seeing both innovation and disruption. First, a significant cyber attack impacting education globally.
That's right. An international cyber attack has severely disrupted a swath of universities and schools worldwide. A hacking group successfully breached Canvas, which is a widely used academic software platform utilized by thousands of educational institutions across the globe. This attack has led to widespread outages and concerns about data security, impacting students and educators alike in numerous countries.
And within the tech giants, there are reports of internal struggles as companies adapt to the AI era. Meta, for instance, seems to be facing some internal challenges.
Meta is certainly feeling the pressures of the artificial intelligence era. Reports indicate that the company's aggressive embrace of AI is making many of its 78,000 employees miserable. As Meta pushes its workforce to integrate and utilize AI technologies, there's also an undercurrent of concern about job security, with preparations reportedly underway for potential layoffs. It highlights the significant cultural and operational shifts that large tech companies are undergoing as they pivot towards an AI-centric future, and the human cost involved in such rapid transformation.
And an interesting discussion has emerged around prediction markets and their regulation in the U.S.
This is a fascinating area. There's a growing debate about whether the U.S. can effectively rein in prediction markets. These platforms, where people can wager on the outcomes of future events, have raised concerns, particularly regarding potential for insider trading. As one commentator put it, it seems every other day I am reading a story about a massive insider trading scandal. The rise of AI and sophisticated data analysis tools could make these markets even more complex, prompting regulators to consider how to monitor and control them to ensure fairness and prevent illicit activities.
Turning now to our economy, health, and consumer trends, with Mother's Day just around the corner, many are wondering how rising prices might affect celebrations.
Despite anxieties over rising gas prices and general inflation, it appears people are still ready to splurge for Mother's Day. It's traditionally the biggest day for America's restaurants and one of the largest for flower sales. This year, economists are observing that even with increased costs, consumers are prioritizing these celebrations, indicating a strong desire to honor mothers, perhaps as a form of resilient consumer behavior in the face of broader economic pressures.
And speaking of broader economic concerns, there are discussions about potential jet fuel shortages in Europe. How might the U.S. play a role in alleviating that?
An international airbody is suggesting a proactive measure to head off any potential jet fuel supply problems in Europe. They are proposing wider acceptance of U.S.-grade jet fuel. Currently, there are often differing specifications, but harmonizing these standards could significantly increase the available supply pool, allowing U.S. reserves or production to be utilized more easily across the Atlantic. This move would aim to ensure smooth operations for air travel and logistics amidst global supply chain uncertainties.
On a health note, there's also an update regarding hantavirus. What should listeners know?
There's an important update regarding a hantavirus outbreak that originated on a cruise ship. Health authorities are monitoring the situation closely and providing guidance on what to know about the virus. Hantavirus is a rare but serious respiratory disease transmitted by rodents, typically through their urine, droppings, or saliva. The key takeaway for the public is prevention. Avoid contact with rodents, especially in enclosed spaces, and ensure proper hygiene. Information is being disseminated to help the public identify symptoms and seek medical attention if necessary, particularly if they've been on the affected cruise or in similar high-risk environments.
And in consumer health tech, the fitness wearable company Whoop is expanding its services.
That's right. Whoop, known for its fitness wearables, is stepping up its offerings significantly for U.S. users. They're introducing on-demand clinician access and AI-powered health guidance. What's notable is that these enhanced features are largely included within the price of membership, making advanced health insights and professional consultations more accessible. It represents a growing trend in consumer tech to integrate personalized health support directly into wearable devices, moving beyond just tracking data to providing actionable, expert-backed advice.
Finally, before we wrap up, a lighter, or perhaps more colorful, moment from the world of sports involving former President Trump.
Indeed. When asked about the potential ticket price to watch the U.S. play Paraguay in their 2026 World Cup opener, former U.S. President Donald Trump commented, "I wouldn't pay it either." It was a candid remark that, while perhaps humorous to some, also touches on the ever-present debate around accessibility and the cost of major sporting events, even for a high-profile fixture like a World Cup opener. A classic Trump soundbite, to be sure.
Always something to talk about. Arohi, thank you so much for breaking down today's top stories.
My pleasure.
And that brings us to the end of today's news briefing. Before we go, here's a unique fact to leave you with. Did you know that the world's first computer programmer was a woman? Ada Lovelace, daughter of the poet Lord Byron, is widely recognized for her work on Charles Babbage's analytical engine in the mid-19th century. Her notes included what is considered the first algorithm intended to be carried out by a machine, predating modern computers by decades. A true pioneer in a field we're still grappling with today. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with more essential updates. Until then, have a fantastic day.